Thanks for coming. Now, Friday morning around 11:45, this whole area was full of kids. The pulpit, the baptismal font, everything was gone, and it was absolutely full of kids. You should have been here. They were loud, boisterous, sang well, and it was a fun time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Grace ran the PA system for them and kept it going.
Yeah.
You know what day this is? Anyone know? Father's Day, right. Father's Day. I brought these binoculars with me. And a little while ago, I was looking at a dog through the window next to the door across the street. Cute little brown dog. It's not there anymore. But these are really good for seeing things far away. They bring it close to you and you can see it much better. I use them sometimes when I'm looking at the birds at the bird theaters in the neighborhood so I can see what kind of a bird it is for sure. Have you ever looked through the binoculars? Have you? Go ahead. You want to look through it? No. You want to? You can pass them on and try it. See how they bring things close? She doesn't want to look either? Okay. That must be a guy thing. Well, binoculars make things that are really far away look small, look like they're really close to you and big, so you can really see the details really well. And you know, fathers are a little bit like binoculars. They've lived a long time. They've seen a lot of things. They've done a lot of things. They've learned a lot of things. And now they're wise. And they have all this knowledge to share with you. And so we need to kind of listen to our fathers because they will tell us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And they have all this knowledge and wisdom that God has given them through all those years that they can help us learn how to live right. And so we need to remember that. And remember, when our fathers say something, we should listen. Wish my kids and grandkids were here. We thank you for our dads. Help them to help us to be the kind of people you want us to be. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Galatians 2, verses 15 through 21. We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. But if, in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law, so that I may live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Thus ends the reading.
Let us pray. O Lord God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, and the actions of our lives this coming week all be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. Welcome on this Father's Day of 2015. It's not easy being a father. Someone has made a list of ways to intimidate your daughter's date when he comes to pick her up. Read just a few to help you fathers and grandfathers who have teenage daughters or granddaughters. Sprinkle some dust on your daughter before she leaves. Explain it makes fingerprinting easier. Challenge a fellow to arm wrestling. Introduce him to the family by calling each family member to the living room using a whistle. And then make him stand at attention and salute. As they leave on their date, talking to a walkie-talkie, subject is wearing khakis and a blue polo shirt, driving a green Ford. Follow these instructions, and I'm sure that the young man will be intimidated. This is Father's Day. We celebrate the male contribution to the Christian family. In this day when the family is on the endangered list, we need to affirm those men and women who are consciously seeking to maintain the most basic and fundamental ties to our society. Dads, this is our day. Nevertheless, I want to challenge dads to consider giving your family a special gift on this Father's Day. A new dad. No, I'm not recommending divorce. I have in mind the words of St. Paul, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are created new." For one thing, none of us is everything that we could be. For example, some of us fathers and mothers have a time problem. Dr. Seymour Diamond did some research on family problems. He came up with conclusions that are devastating for fathers. He claims that today's average American father gives undivided attention to his children 38 seconds a day. He does give them partial attendance for an additional 20 minutes while he's otherwise engaged, watching TV or working on some project. But that's it. Of course, that's not a time problem. It's a priority problem. A tired father came in from work one evening, sat down with the mail. His 5-year-old came bouncing in saying, "Daddy, I skinned my knee today." Father paid no attention. "Daddy," the boy says, "I hurt my knee." More silence as father reads the mail. "Daddy," shouts the boy, "my knee got hurt real bad." This gets the father's attention, and he says irritably, okay, you hurt your knee. What do you do about it?" And the boy's answer was short. "You could have said, oh." They tell us the average boy of four asks 400 questions a day. Obviously, no one could answer them all. But some of us do need to try harder, don't we? I want us to focus our attention on the 20th of the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians. Paul writes, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Here is the ultimate secret of being a good dad and a good mom and a good grandparent and a good son and daughter. Did I catch them all? Ultimately, it is the secret of being a good follower of the man from Nazareth. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. What does Paul mean when he says that he has been crucified with Christ? Obviously, he hasn't been crucified on a cross with nails in his hands and feet. Now, what is crucified is Paul's old way of living. His pride, his self-righteousness, his sense of moral superiority, his disdain for people who did not think or worship as he did. Paul became a new person. It is amazing that the Paul who persecuted people because of their religious beliefs could be the same Paul who wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." He continues, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth." It's hard to believe that Paul, the persecutor of early Christians, wrote those words. Remember that when Paul, or Saul as he was called then, came to Jerusalem to try to meet up with the disciples of Jesus? They were all afraid of him. They knew his reputation. There was nothing loving about the Paul they had heard about. And that is just the point. The old Paul was dead. And now there was a new Paul, fashioned after the character of Christ, loving, forgiving, accepting, caring. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That was a testimony of the new Paul. And that's what we all need, isn't it? In Paul's words, to be crucified with Christ and to find new life in him. Of course, this is true of all of us. men, women, married, single, parents, grandparents, those living alone. But for those who are in a situation where you are responsible not only for the physical needs of others, but also their emotional and spiritual needs as well, there is that special need for a Christ-like love, a love more giving than the love we were born with. One author tells about his father, who retired at 64. The author wanted to buy his dad something to thank him for all his hard work and sacrifice. As he shopped, however, he realized that there was nothing that he could buy that would adequately thank his father for all he had done for him. So that night he sat down and wrote a list of thank yous to his father for all he had done for him, and he left it on the kitchen table for his dad to read before that final day of work. And I quote, "Thank you, Dad, for waking up every morning when it was still dark outside and going to work while we slept in our warm beds. For wearing that ugly paper tie I made you in first grade. For teaching me how to pray. For coming to all my Little League games and for keeping quiet when other fathers wouldn't. For loving my mother with all your heart. For teaching me I can never say please and thank you often, too often. For taking me out for ice cream the night I struck out with a tying run on third. For giving me a hug when I really needed one. For building that voice inside me that said no when I was tempted to get in a car after I'd been drinking. For giving me life even after you lost a son. For helping me buy my first car. For being a wonderful grandfather. For telling me it's okay to cry. For being my hero. For being my friend." End of quote. Being a loving father does not come naturally. It's hard work. It means ignoring your own needs at times so that you can focus your attention on the needs of others. Some of us had fathers who could do this. Others of us had fathers who could not. Part of this new Christ-like character is the ability to give unconditional love. If somehow you never received that kind of love from your parents, I hope you will receive it today from Christ. He's offering it to you. You don't have to be a super achiever. You don't even have to be a super Christian. God loves you because you're you. That's all it takes. He loves you. That kind of love doesn't come naturally to many of us. What many of us need is to be reborn, not in a doctrinal sense, but in a practical one. We need a new heart. We need new emotions. We need to die to our old self and be made new to the love of Jesus Christ. That's true of dads and moms and grandparents. That's true of single men and women, boys and girls. St. Paul writes, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." So may it be for you and for me. Amen. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit abide with each of us, both now and forevermore. Amen.